Well, thank you for being here again this evening hour. And let me say that it has been my prayer today that, first of all, with kindness and with clarity, so that you may be able to understand some Bible principles that possibly you have not considered before, we would approach our study tonight. And you can let me know afterwards, not by way of compliment, but you can let me know afterwards if you feel that the lesson has been beneficial and profitable to you. For especially the benefit of those who possibly were not here this morning, our lesson tonight has to do with a question about the lottery. We're well aware of the fact that whether it is the place where you get gasoline or, well, just about any convenience store or place you go, you are able to buy lottery tickets. The question, or the statement, actually, that was put in our question box, again, I read, "I've never understood why people think playing the lottery is a sin. I've never seen why playing the lottery is any worse than buying a raffle ticket. Some people say that it's because some people waste lots of money and can ruin their life in a failed attempt to become rich. However, overindulgence of other things can be just as bad for people, example, food, and cause physical and emotional ruin, and these things are not considered sin. I do not play the lottery because I don't want the appearance of evil in front of other Christians, but I don't know how it's actual sin." Well, first of all, I want to commend the individual that took time out to write the query and to say the things that they have said. I want to encourage all of you, don't inundate the box on the same week, but I want to encourage all of you, if you have similar questions in mind, and if it is a suitable question for a sermon, or if it's a matter of simply a private conversation that I would have with you, why, I will try my very best to answer these questions if they can be answered. So I appreciate that, and I am able to see from the way the statement is worded about the lottery that here is a sincere Christian. They have been doing a good deal of thinking, reasoning about this matter. Some of the things, of course, give us great pause for thought. We know that the majority of the world, the majority of people for that matter, they do not give a second thought to playing the lottery. Around town you'll see a billboard maybe talking about the nationwide lottery, and doesn't it just blow your mind, all of those zeros that follow, and you say $10 zillion. Boy, what if I had $10 zillion? What would I do with it? And of course, you can read about the lives of people and how they have said, "I'm going to do so much good with this money, and I'm going to do this or that." One of the things, though, that I believe comes up in the writing of this query is maybe a very good lesson for us. We do not prove the rightness or wrongness of a thing ordinarily by comparing it with some other practice. For instance, is it all right to play the lottery? Well, we don't condemn people who overindulge in food. Well, maybe we should. The Bible, of course, has a great deal to say about gluttony. And while we may sometimes just make a joke about it, it is certainly true, as our writer has stated, it would be just as sinful and just as wrong to overindulge in the eating of food as I believe it would be to play the lottery. But that does not prove the point one way or the other. Our writer says, well, playing the lottery is a whole lot like buying a raffle ticket. And I agree 1,000%. And it is exactly on that basis that I will not take a raffle ticket. I can contribute to a school effort. I can say, here, I will give you a dollar, or here is for this particular effort that you are making. But it is certainly true that whether you're buying a raffle ticket or whether you are playing the lottery, here is the thing that is involved. All right, now, is it all right if a Christian buys a lottery ticket? And you say, Gene, how in the world are you going to talk about that? If you were to look from Genesis through Revelation, would you see the lottery there by name? Somebody says, you know, it would be so easy and so convenient if the Lord had just said, don't play the lottery. Or if there was some place in there to say, it's all right to do it, but watch yourself. What is the Bible for? Have you maybe stopped to think how big a book the Bible would have to be if it were to try to attack everything by name or approve of everything by name? I don't know whether I can do this very successfully, but suppose the Bible were to say, well, don't sniff glue. It's all right if you have a little marijuana, but don't indulge in angel dust. You can drink one Budweiser, but be sure that you don't drink a whole six pack. Well, the Bible doesn't do it that way, does it? Because God's book is intended for all ages, because God's book is intended for every generation throughout all times, because the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which began to be taught by our Lord over 2,000 years ago and will continue to be the standard of right and wrong until He comes again. The Bible deals not always by naming something by name, but it gives us principles whereby we are able to determine whether something is right or whether something is wrong. So we want to talk about what are the Bible principles that would determine this matter of the lottery. Not how we feel about it. Not a matter of saying, well, if I just do it a little bit, that's all right. What is the lottery? What is the lottery? Well, there is a name for it. And do you know what the name is? It's called gambling. Gambling. Now, what is gambling? Well, the concise Oxford Dictionary, I notice, gives a very short, concise definition. It means to play games of chance for money. To play games of chance for money. All right, that's the lottery, isn't it? They don't give lottery tickets away, do they? You've got to put down your dollar or $5, or depending on what lottery it is, you give your money and then you take a chance. If you read what the chances are, why, sometimes the chances are in the millions as to whether you will win. It's a game of chance. Well, I have heard people say, well, that's life for you. No, that's not life. Is life a risk? Yes, life is a risk. There are dangers in life, but life is not a gamble, you see. The Bible writers all understand that life is from God and that God has to do with our lives. While life is uncertain, life is not a gamble. All right. Now, what we have to do with this Bible principle that is set before us is to ask ourselves the question, why is gambling sinful? You see, if we can determine that it's all right to buy a lottery ticket, well then, hey, Reno, Las Vegas, here I come. Because any kind, then, of playing a game of chance for money, if a lottery is all right, why, so is everything else that goes with gambling. All right. Now, what is involved in gambling? To state it another way, why do people gamble? Why do people gamble? Love of money. Love of money. If we are just absolutely honest, the reason why a person buys a lottery ticket is so they will win. Isn't that it? People buy a lottery ticket so they will win. Win what? So they will win money. All right, now, what I would like to ask you to do at this stage is turn to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and we want to read it very, very carefully, recognizing that this is the wisdom, that this is the will of God. Beginning with verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6, here is what Christians are instructed to do and to be like. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Now I suppose what the Christian has to stop, to pause, to ask themselves whenever they are thinking about buying a lottery ticket is, will this happen to me? Most of the time, we say, you know, I can understand what the Lord is talking about here in broad principle, and I think I know some cases of where people, because of their searching for wealth, because of their love of money, that has happened to them. But it won't happen to me. Oh, but that's not what God is saying. God is not saying you can see some examples of where the love of money has caused people to just have all kinds of bad things to happen to them, but they won't happen to me. Yes, if God's Word says that this will happen, then it will happen. Now, what is it that will happen? Those who desire to be rich, and we laugh right now. We laugh. You say, well, I'm not ever going to be rich. I'm not buying this lottery ticket so that I will be rich. That's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. This passage is not just addressed to rich people. Who's it addressed to? To everyone who desires to be rich. Do you ever sing along with the fiddler on the roof, "If I Were a Rich Man"? Why, you say, I've had dreams like that. What if your Aunt Sarah left you $1 million? What would you do with it? If I were a rich man. What happens to people who are not content along with godliness? If they desire to be rich, what follows? They fall into temptation and a snare. Now, you can't argue with God. No matter how hard you try, you cannot overcome what our Lord is saying here. If you desire to be rich, there's something that's going to happen. Fall into temptation, a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money. Now, Paul is writing to Christians, don't you know? He's writing to the faithful children of God through Timothy. In this case, he's not even speaking to people that are out there in the world who do not display any love for God. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. All kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I tell you, these verses scare me. Now, I don't know whether it scares you or not, but it ought to. What it tells Gene Tope is, don't you desire to be rich? Don't you have a love for money? You say, well, do you mean that rich men cannot go to heaven? Well, of course, we know what our Lord said about going through the eye of a needle. But do you know it is not wrong to be rich? It's not wrong to be rich. You can read on through 1 Timothy 6 here, and Paul will give instructions to rich people how they are to be rich in good works. What is wrong? Not that you have a bank account. Not that you have a surplus. Not that you even have an abundance. What is wrong? The love of money. The love of money. And here we are right at the very root of all things. Do you know the lottery is not for benevolent purposes? Did you know that? Whoa, Gene, no, no. The state of Virginia, they have the lottery so it can help the schools. No. Why do people know that a lottery will succeed? The love of money. Love of money. In reality, most people do not buy a lottery ticket because they say, I'm doing good. I'm helping people out there. Look how I'm helping the public schools. Look how I'm doing this and that. When we are honest with ourselves, we say there is really only one reason. Only one reason why I am gambling. And that is, I want to get money. I'm going to put down a dollar and I hope I'm going to win X amount of dollars. Do you know what covetousness is? To covet something. And do you know that that is what Paul is talking about here? Let's look at just two or three passages of Scripture about covetousness. Look over at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And just note that passage. You may want to write some of these down, or you may want to highlight it. Let your conduct, Hebrews 13, 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with what you have. Be without covetousness. Luke, the 12th chapter, and verse 15. Man cried out to Jesus. Here, our Lord was teaching spiritual things, and a man cried out to him, speak to my brother, Lord, and tell him to divide the inheritance between us. Jesus said, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Luke 12 and verse 15. Here's the words of Jesus. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Boy, there's a lesson within itself right there. A man's life does not consist of his possessions. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Will there be any covetous people, those who have love for money in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How are covetous people associated? Who are they associated with? Well, it's a pretty dark crowd. And this is the way the Lord lists them. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? What's that saying to you? Here are people that are lost in hell. Here are people, if they die in this condition, they're not going to go to heaven. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. How dangerous is it for you to buy a lottery ticket? Are you endangering your soul whenever you put that money down and you say, I sure hope I win. I sure hope I win. You know, the Bible teaches a lot about money. It teaches how Christians are to get money. Now, how are you to get money? Well, of course, we can say we're to get money honestly. It would be wrong for you to go rob a bank, wouldn't it? What does the Bible teach about how Christians are to support themselves and how they are to get money? Well, it's sort of a name that maybe young people especially don't like. It's just one of those four-letter words, and it's called W-O-R-K. Daniel, that spells work. Work. And you say, phooey, is that what life is about? And yes. That's why mom and dad do what they do. They work. Mama to work at home, daddy to work to supply for the family. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. That's how come we know about this. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Well, that's not all. You know, there were a bunch of Christians in Thessalonica that weren't working. And Paul, when he writes to the church in Thessalonica, he gives some very definite instructions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I noticed that verse 11 and 12, 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul says, those folks that won't work, the church is to withdraw from them. In verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 3, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Mamas and daddies, if you've got a worthless child who says, I want to live at home and I want to live off of mom and dad, here's your plan. Here's your plan. If any man will not work, neither shall he eat. That takes care of every problem with Junior that I've ever known about. But it'll take care of our problems too. It takes care of the lazy man. It takes care of the individual who says, I just want to sit outside and talk with people all the time. We hear, Paul says, that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. What is the Bible principle from the time of Adam onwards? Work. Work. Whatever kind of work it is that you choose to do that is an honorable work, you are to earn money and you are to provide good things with that money. The gambler's philosophy: I want something for nothing. I do not want to work. I am tired of working. Bible also teaches a certain attitude about money and about what you've got. Do you know where it came from? When I was a young man, I worked for U.S. Rubber in Detroit, Michigan. We were having a gospel meeting, and I spoke to my fellow worker that was just right beside me. I said, "I want to invite you to the gospel meeting." He said, "I won't come." He said, "Everything that I have, I've done that for myself. Everything that I have, it's because I've worked for it." Right or wrong? Well, just about as wrong as you can get. Who gave you health? Who provides food? Who gives you the ability, the strength to work? And the psalmist in Psalm 24 in verse 1 says, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Everything that you... Do you know what you are? You're just a steward. That's what you are. That car you've got, that house you've got, the clothes you've got, the children you've got, the wife or the husband that you have, your job, everything. Do you know what? It's all been given to you. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. That ought to help us in our attitude toward material things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are just stewards. It's been a while since you were reading First Chronicles. Here we are up in Nehemiah now, plodding along through Nehemiah. But I look back at 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, and verse 12, I see this is what David says: "Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all." Everything that we have comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. Now, let's see if we can summarize. What are the Bible principles that will prevent you from going to the convenience store and buying a lottery ticket? Number one, Christians believe in God, not in luck. You don't go to the palm reader, or in the case of the African, to the witch doctor. You place your trust and confidence in God. Principle number one. Principle number two, the Bible tells you how to use your money. Just as it tells you how to earn your money, so it tells you how to use your money. What are you to use your money for? Well, to provide for your family. 1 Timothy 5, he that provides not for his own is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. People that get married and they will not provide for their family when they could, they're worse than infidels. What else? To preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Christians are to use what they have to further the kingdom of God. New Testament scripture after New Testament scripture that is quoted by the men at the table week after week sustains the principle, you're to work so that you may spread the gospel among the lost. So you can help the needy. Ephesians 4 and verse 28 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and so forth. So that you can help those that are in need. So you can lay up treasure in heaven. And I like that most of all. Katie, do you have any idea when you put your quarter in the contribution plate, how that's laying up treasure in heaven? Do you have any idea how that is? Here is a generous, loving heart who loves God. And as they do good works, as they are helping poor Christians, as they are spreading the word of God, as they are seeing that the work of the kingdom goes forth, you're laying up treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You want to give that dollar to the lottery? You put that in the contribution. Do you know what you're doing? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Is it in the lottery? Is it in gambling? Is it in the desire to be rich? Or is it in heaven? Would you take something that is not yours and gamble with it? That's what you do every time you buy a lottery ticket. The Bible convinces me that the lottery is sinful. I hope it convinces you.